Nations are at war. The world's economies are falling apart. Violence stalks many streets and homes. And September 11th reminds us that evil exists. There's something devilish and deadly at loose in our societies, something we cannot tame. We cannot bribe it. We cannot argue it away. It's here. It persists. Some say that man has taken to flying, but he doesn't fly like an eagle. He flies like a beetle. Doesn't get very far, but very long, very high. Why? Something is broken on the inside. There's a disconnect with God. We need redemption. And so our text today brings the message of redemption from the words of the Apostle Paul. We may be saved. We may be made righteous. We may have a right relationship with our Maker. There is hope for each one of us, however perilous our circumstances may be. How is that so? Because of the words in verse 8 of the text, "But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Our amazing God. The idea of God loving us was not very common when Paul wrote these words. For the popular mythologies of the time with their pantheons of gods never spoke of a God of love, always a God full of vengeance and wrath. But Jesus came on the scene, and what did he say in John 3:16? You know it. God so loved the world, right? What did he say in John 15:13? Greater love has no one than this. A man, even I, would lay down my life for others. And here Paul would say, God showed his love. Sorry, I misspoke. God shows his love. It is present tense, not past tense. God shows his love. God demonstrates his love. God proves his love for us. So it is something that is always going on. God's love for us is never ending, ever living. It is as though God never ceases to love. And he constantly demonstrates, shows that love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when the Apostle Paul wanted to speak about how God showed his love, he didn't point to the beauty of nature, or the glory of the sky, or the bounty of a harvest. He pointed to a bloody cross. And he says, this is how God demonstrates his love. Christ died for us. So today we have a very simple message. I hope you have an appetite for the gospel once in a while. Is that okay with you? Once in a while to hear a message from the gospel, right? Even Methodists should be able to tolerate that once in a while. So here, once in a while, the gospel, friends. A very simple outline. We ask ourselves, first of all, when did God show his love? You see it right here in the text. Verse 6. For while, right? While, adverb of time. Wouldn't you say that? While we were still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. When? While God did not wait for us to improve our condition. All right? Now, if somebody comes to you who has always been, let us say, messing up in life, what would you be inclined to say? When you get your act together, come and see me, right? When you figure it out, we could talk. When? God did not wait for a when. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But the other thing it says in the text, he did it too at the right time. For God is never late in anything that God does. In the fullness of time, Christ came. God will come to you at the right time and draw your heart unto himself, and the right time is now, while you are where you are. So, God isn't waiting for you to be better. To be better. God comes to us now, as that old hymn says, just as I am. When did God show his love? While we were sinners, undeserving of that love. But secondly, we may ask ourselves, to whom did God show his love? I know there are three words here that may disturb some of you, but it's in the Bible. Verse 6, to whom did God show his love? While we were still weak, those who are weak and helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly, that's the first word. Then look at verse 8. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, for whom did he die? Sinners. And then look at verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And the word I have circled here on my text is enemies. So for whom did he die? Three simple words. Ungodly? Sinners? And those who are enemies of God. Now, do you know anybody that fits any of these categories? Yes, maybe your neighbor, maybe an in-law, anybody else? Anybody else you could think of that may be ungodly, a sinner, or enemy of God? Anybody else you could think of? Well, how about you? I'm only suggesting, I'm not saying you are. You know. How about you? How about me? When we were still sinners. Friends, I do not think that in eternity past, God looked through time and God saw me and said, oh, that Anthony Cutting, such a great guy, such a righteous guy, I would let Christ die for him. God saw nothing good in me when Christ came to die for me. To whom does he show his love? The worst of us. God demonstrates his love. A certain medieval priest announced that he was preaching one Sunday evening on the love of God. And people came and filled the cathedral, and they sat waiting for the service to begin. And as they waited, the sun began to set, and soon darkness covered the land until no light was coming in through the windows of the cathedral. And at that time, the priest came in, went to the altar, lit a candle, preaching on the love of God. And he took that lit candle, and first he went over to the crucifix, and he put the light of the candle to the crown of thorns, then to the nail print in one hand, then to the nail print in the other hand, then to the wound in Jesus' side. And with that, he went back to the altar, put the candle down, and blew it out. Nothing else to say. The love of God. Christ died for us. When did he die? When we can't help ourselves. For whom did he die? People like you and I. The worst of us, when we were unrighteous, enemies of God, Christ died for us. So, sisters and brothers, it means that there's nothing redeeming in us. Nothing special about us that God should save us. He saved us when we were at our worst. When the Austrian Emperor Karl died, the service was planned for him, and the mourners brought the body to the door of the cathedral, and somebody rapped on the door and said, "Open." And the abbot from inside asked, "Who is there?" And they said, "Emperor Karl, King of Austria." And the voice inside said, "We know of no such person here." They rapped again on the door, "Open." The abbot inside asked, "Who is there?" "Emperor Karl," they said. And the voice of the abbot rang out one more time, "We know of no such person here." The mourner rapped again, "Open." The abbot asked, "Who is there?" And the voice said, "Karl is servant of God." The door opened. All our stuff, all our credentials, all our earnings, please be proud of your virtuous achievements, etc., etc. But before a holy God, they mean nothing. Christ died for thee, ungodly. When did he show his love? To whom did he show his love? And thirdly, we ask ourselves, well, how did God show his love? It's right here in the text. Christ died for us. Verse 8. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how God shows his love. Do you love anybody? Anybody here love anybody? Anybody awake? Do you love anybody? Oh, some people walk up. You see, that's magic. You know, I could do that. How do you show your love? No, you don't have to answer that. How do you show your love? This is how God shows it. He sent Christ to die. Now, let's try to unpack that, friends. What does it mean? What does it mean that Christ died? Almost everyone here have seen a person as dead. We know the reality of death. The person is cold, lifeless, no respiration, no brain activity, no reflexes, dead. Everything that death means happened to Jesus Christ. On the cross, he gave up his spirit. He became a lifeless corpse. He was buried. Christ died for us. Verse 7 of the text says, "Scarcely for a righteous person would anyone die. For a certain kind of person, one may even dare to die," because we don't die for others. Christ died. It is Christ who died. Not a great teacher. No, not a prophet. This is the Son of God, His only Son, holy and righteous, without sin. The one who created the heavens and the earth, He died for us. So why should I care that Christ died? Because He died for me. And I just want to point it out to you, friends. At the end of verse 8, you see that little word for? That little word for, in the Greek, the preposition, the hooper. There's possibly more written on that than some of us could read in our lifetime. For us, instead of us, in our place. Huh? When I die, I die. I don't die for anyone. He died in my place for us. So the Lord's Supper that we'll take today reminds us of the time when Jesus said, "This is my body given for you." My blood given for you. There is a connection between us and the death of Christ. He died for us. We are told that when Abraham Lincoln's body was taken back from Washington to Illinois, it passed through Albany and it was carried through the streets. And yes, we know the crowds lined the streets to watch the procession. And there's a little story of a black woman that was in the crowd that day. And standing on the curb, she had her little son in her hand. And she lifted him high above the crowd. And people heard her saying, "Take a long look, honey. He died for you. He died." The day we look to the cross, we look at the table. Let us take a long look. He died for you. He died for me. How do you feel when you hear these thoughts? In your prayers, your meditation, have you ever dwell on it a bit? He died for me. What emotions do you experience? If you have never done it, take some time and contemplate it. You don't have to wait till Lent or Good Friday. It is something we should do frequently. In meditation, go over it again and again until you feel it. You become emotional. It is death. He died for me. When we were without strength, Christ died for us. So we may ask ourselves, what's the benefit of his death? What does his death do for me? How may I be better because of this death? We don't have time to get into it in an exposition of the text for the sermon, but let me point it out to you. What are the benefits of his death? Verse 1 through 5. Because he died, we are justified by faith. You see that? Because he died, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Verse 2 again, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Verse 3, not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that because he died, our sufferings may produce endurance, and endurance may produce character, and character may produce hope. Because he died. Go down to verse 9. What are the benefits? Because he died, we have been justified. That is, we are brought into a right relationship with God by his blood. Because he died, we may be saved through him from the wrath to die to come. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. And the end of verse 11. We have now received reconciliation. It would be nice to go through and count the we's in the text, you know. More we's here than in a GameStop store, you know. We, it's all for us. The benefits of it all. God proves his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the benefit of it all is what? We are now his children. We are forgiven. We are in a right relationship with God. We have the hope of eternal life. We are adopted into the family of God. So, sisters and brothers, the love of God says to us this day, God has looked upon us just as we are and done what is needful to bring us back to himself. When we accept his son, we become his own children, forgiven, made right, members of the family of God. A man once went to his therapist talking about the troubles he had with a teenage girl he was in the process of adopting. She was very destructive, disobedient, and dishonest. One day she came home from school and she ransacked the entire house looking for money to go and buy her stuff. She left the house in rambles. He shared this with some friends, and his friends urged him, saying, "You should not finalize the adoption. Let her go." And then they said the key line, you know, "After all, she is not your daughter." And his response to them was simply this: "Yes, I know that. But I told her she was. I told her she was." Can't let her go. God tells us we are his children. Amen? God says you are mine. You are justified. You are saved. You are forgiven. All through the precious blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. Number 365. Would you please stand?
Marvelous grace of all loving Lord, grace that exceeds all sin and all guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like this, emptiness all with. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
For the Lord's Supper is found in our worship brochure, a service of word and table.